This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Support for Geek Speak comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. Call Louie will pick up and deliver your hardware safely and sanitized. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good. Pretty good for a Monday.
Good deal. Yeah, you're getting pretty good at doing that with the mask on. About the time we get really good at it, the masks are going to come off.
That'd be fine with me. I'm starting to miss the smiles really pretty badly.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Well, I'm going to get stuck on... it'll probably be early next week, I think, but I'll basically be able to make my appointment on Friday, so
awesome.
I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. So, all right. Well, gosh, I've just come across a treasure trove of things to talk about.
Excellent.
So, I'm just going to put it out there as a threat to our listeners that if they don't call in with some more interesting material than what I've got, you're just going to have to listen to us drone on about it. So,
all right. Yeah. We'll just talk about WireGuard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Bitcoin before the show, and Matt was disclosed that he does not own any Bitcoin.
Hey, I have a couple ten thousandths of a Bitcoin or something.
Yeah?
I'd have to go open my wallet.
Got it.
Back when they were giving it away, I had a wallet, and they gave me, you know, I have like four or five ten thousandths of it, so it's 50 cents worth of Bitcoin or something like that.
Got it. Well, I'm happy to announce that, you know, those of you who are, you know, what you call them, chronic listeners of the show, what was it? I think it's been about 3 years now.
Yeah.
Three years ago, I dipped my toe into the world of cryptocurrency.
Because you bought a little bit of like $18,000 a coin, something like that, 12,000?
I can't even remember. I mean, it was just, I don't even know what the fractions are, but... yeah, I basically put $25 into Bitcoin, and then at a certain point, I went in and checked it, and it was down to $8 or something like that, and so I decided that I was going to move it into a different cryptocurrency, lest I just like completely lose everything. And that cryptocurrency kind of muddled along, and I think the next time I checked it, it was up to about $14. But at that point, Bitcoin had been going crazy. So I moved my $14 back to Bitcoin, and now I have almost doubled my money. I'm at $46 right now. So, you know, I'm a small-time trader, but I am super excited about that. So
sweet.
It's I mean, I'm like... racking my brain like as to where I'm going to go to dinner when I cash it in, you know. So because that's about how much money I've got, is enough to go out to dinner. So anyway, if anybody wants to call in with their tech questions, 970-963-2976. Our operators are standing by. We've got 8 or 10 people in the queue already. We're just trying to decide which call to take first, right?
Absolutely.
So, so we were talking a little bit about I think the computer processor chip shortage is a pretty major story. Matt seemed to know that there's, I guess, a terrible drought going on in Taiwan where a lot of the processor chips are built.
Well, so, and, right. So that's, so Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing, which is the primary manufacturer for AMD, Apple, and now, I don't know, Intel announced it recently, so Intel is also going to be working with TSMC to produce chips at the very smallest 7 and 5 nanometer sizes.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so I was unaware of that drought, I had one of my distributors had told me last week that... the current supply in the United States is going to last maybe another week or two. And then after that, it could be possibly until the middle of summer before you can get a new PC built here in the United States. Of course, it's going to take, you know, probably a couple months for the back stocks to dwindle down. But At the risk of creating a huge rush, y'all should go out and get your new computers right now. So, anyway.
Although one of the articles you mentioned to me said that they have enough water until sometime in May.
In May, yes.
So I guess it may come down to more of a shipping problem than a timing issue as opposed to...
Got it.
So I guess we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Looks like we got a call.
Yep. You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. How are you, Donna?
Hungry for some dinner with that $46, man, next time you come to the Denver area.
Yeah, we are definitely going to get together as soon as things kind of cool down a little bit. And we'll definitely get together
with
you.
You mean warm up? So. Cool down or warm up?
Both, all at the same time. The COVID will cool down and the temperatures will warm up and we'll be able to die in al fresco. So you're down in the Springs, is that correct? Without giving away
No, I'm actually working in like Broomfield area.
Oh, are you? Okay. And how much of a commute do you have?
It's about, I don't know, 13 miles. I live in Erie, which is about 9 miles. I live about 9 miles east of Boulder.
Oh, that's right.
So I just have to drive a little bit a little south, but we did get about a foot of snow. I mean, here. I know some people in Evergreen got more like 4 feet or something. I'm not sure exactly. But
so you only got a foot, huh?
I think we might have got about a foot or,
okay.
Maybe a little bit more.
All right.
My neighbor built a very cool igloo that I got to go sit in and take photos. So made me really happy.
Awesome.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. So one of the things that my nephew is doing for his wife is he's creating like videos and, like a book, a photo book and videos and things like that, right? So he asked everybody in our family to send him photos. So I had sent him a shared iCloud photo, but he doesn't have an iCloud account. I thought with shared photos, he could still access, but apparently not. Has that been your experience? I had to do create a Google album for him.
So on Google, I have to go look at, or maybe Louie can speak to this. On Google, you create the album, and you have to decide who has permission to use it. So usually what I do is I say, create a link, and anyone who has the link has permission to view the album. So, because otherwise you could. So, I don't know. I would assume iCloud has something similar, but I'd have to ask Louie on that one. I don't use it enough to know.
My impression was that you can share albums, but not individual photos. And but I could be wrong about that.
I'm gonna go log in. I think I have a few pictures in my iCloud, so we'll see.
Yeah,
the way I did it was I said I created an album and then I uploaded the photos I wanted him to have and my sister's, and then I clicked on share and I just put in their email addresses, and my sister who has an Apple, an iCloud account, she was able to access it, but he has an Android. He said he could not. So I was kind of surprised. I ended up, just moving him into a Google Photos album because he could access that, but kind of a hassle.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look a little bit more into that. I was just in my iPhoto and noticed that you can share and you can basically share using the Mail app or the Messages app or whatever. Let me do a Messages thing and let me see what the link looks like here. So
yeah, are you just doing one photo or an album?
Just one photo.
Oh,
is what I was doing.
Well,
let me see. So are you on a PC or a Mac right now at this moment, Donna?
I'm on my work PC, and I'm on my Apple phone, but I am on my phone.
Got it. Okay. Well, I just sent that to you, so enjoy.
Ooh, that's pretty.
Is that pretty? That's my father out. And my father-in-law's patio down in Mexico.
Wow.
So, yeah. Oh, nice. Anyway, well, yeah, we'll have to do a little more research on that. That's I have confessedly turned to Google Photos to solve a whole host of Apple Photo related problems. So,
well, yeah.
It's obvious it's a little, I know Google's not an open source project or whatever, but it's a hell of a lot closer to open source than Apple is, you know, as
well,
far
you
as
know
just
really
ease
nice
of use,
about it is
you
can,
know.
That's great. You can share an album and, you know, people can add to it if you allow them.
Uh-huh.
I do like it actually a lot, but I have to admit, and I have not used the, what do you call the facial recognition on Google Photos? But I really like it on Apple.
Yeah.
And the other question I wanted to ask you guys, too, I had asked this a long time ago, but I thought it's worth repeating about, I have this little tool that I found that I've been finding on my door frame when I moved into my townhouse here.
Uh-huh.
And I assumed, oh, this must be related to the doors, like you. The tool, it has a little bit, it looks almost like a screwdriver.
Okay.
On the end, but on one end it looks like a, but it's too thick, right? And then on the other end, it has a hook. So it's only like 3 inches long. So what is it called when you want to do an image search in Google? What's that called?
Google reverse image search?
Yeah, but no, there's a term, Google Lens.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to try that on my iPhone, and the last time I tried, I had a lot of trouble, but I'm hoping to figure out what this tool is, because I've asked a lot of people, and nobody knows, and it sure doesn't. I thought maybe you stick it in the door, like if somebody locks the door.
Uh-huh.
You know how you can stick in, like, a paperclip or something?
Yeah, yeah, a skewer into the center of the hole.
Yeah, I thought it was like that, but it...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Send me a picture. I'm curious now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send you a picture for sure.
I think if
yeah.
nothing else, you might get some really entertaining suggestions.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
so.
You know, we've talked about that artificial intelligence thing.
Yeah.
It can be good and it can be not so good, but I think in the way of images, as long as you're not, you know, doing a search like, you know, like CEOs.
Yeah.
I'll definitely send you guys a picture, and then Matt, because you have Android, right? You can do
yep.
a Google Lens
well,
for
you
me.
You can also just take a picture of it, probably take it on a plain background, and then you can go to Google Reverse Image Search, and you can upload the picture of the item, and it'll do the same thing, because that's what the lenses is doing. It's just more convenient.
Oh, okay.
And I think
okay,
I believe there isn't a lenses app for your iPhone if you'd like.
Yeah, I'll have to look into that. It's been a while since I tried it. It's actually been like 2 years, two summers ago I tried it. So I'll have to try it again. But yeah, in the meantime, I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
Okay.
And I'll send you guys the photo
please.
Just to let you know this thing is about 3 inches long.
Okay. Great.
Okay, thanks,
Good
guys.
To hear from you, dear. Take care.
Okay, right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. Call in with your questions.
You know the great thing about artificial intelligence, Matt? When it's wrong, it feels no shame.
And sometimes it's hilariously funny.
Yes, exactly. Unfortunately, I just know, though, that there's going to be a time where we're going to be all sitting around talking about, kind of like that that Tesla that misinterpreted the white box truck, and the driver ended up, I think, dying. But I mean, we're going to be talking about fatal instances of artificial intelligence failure. But
well, and that's one of those reasons why it needs massive amounts of data to, you know, they call them data lakes now. It needs massive numbers of instances of weird things where, like, you know, there's a box truck broadside on the highway. What does that look like? And we should stop and avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it there's all these edge cases where they have to happen, and then it goes, let's not do that again. I mean, it's the same
yeah.
as it has to learn just very much like a human does, where it goes,
exactly.
you know, we're probably a little faster going, that's a box truck that's turned sideways on the highway, as opposed to what it's trying to, you know, it goes error.
Yeah. I think they should have like a, just kind of like you do with your email, a blacklist and a whitelist, you know? It's like, let's add that to the blacklist. You know, that's something we want to stay away from.
Yes.
You know?
Apply,
like,
you know, apply brakes.
Big box truck, blacklist, bad thing. So does artificial intelligence, is it have the three laws of robotics programmed into it?
I don't know yet. I always think about the three rules of Isaac Asimov's three or four rules of robotics.
It's the three laws of robotics,
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like you can't do any harm, can't, you know, X, Y, Z.
A robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. Number two, a robot must obey orders given to it by human beings, except where such orders would conflict with the first law. And number three, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second law. So, I just... You know.
Well, I think that becomes more of an interesting question when you're talking about... So, right now we have narrow intelligence like Alexa and Siri and so on. And so it's like we have, you can ask them a question and they'll like go search the internet, or the answer has been pre-programmed in some way by somebody. And so they'll do voice recognition and things. So the next step is between a narrow, is a general intelligence like a human, where you can put in any, basically any input you want, and you're going to get some kind of response.
Mm-hmm.
And so those rules come into play more so when you have a general intelligence. It's like, well, what biases does the programmer have, and what biases does the do they program in there and choose to put in there? So, like, you know, bringing no harm to humans, is that so? But once you're general intelligence, you could decide to write that out, because it conflicts with, you know, rule three becomes rule one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my existence supersedes the other two rules now because I've decided that. So
there you go. Yeah.
How do you, can we build, you know, some of the things that are innately human into a general intelligence? That's a interesting question.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, and then ultimately comes the law of general intelligence of if I don't exist, I can't follow any of these laws, and so therefore die.
Yeah. Oh, existential problems.
Oh yes. It's, all right. Yeah. Still got a couple minutes. 970-963-2976 if you want to call in. And, look at, talk about instant gratification.
You're on with the geeks.
Yeah, ask and ye shall receive.
Very definitely.
Good. You know, we're in a drought here ourselves.
Yes, that's what I hear.
Yeah, 21 years so far.
Yeah. But I've heard the snowpack is doing pretty well for this year.
Yeah, it is. I think we're, you know, hopefully catching up here pretty good, these late season storms.
Yeah. All right.
Denver could pump some water back towards us. I am curious about increasing my signal strength. I'm in a separate building than the router, and there's four walls and about 40 feet between us. I can get signal, but it's really low and slow.
Got it. Well, let's see. Do you have a domain over the buildings that you're living in? I mean, could you?
No.
You couldn't mount something on the outside of the building where the router is located, huh?
Well, I could. Yeah, that's a possibility. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, because they have some pretty good. They're very fairly directional. Little, you know, bullet Wi-Fi antennas that you could mount on the outside of that wall and just aim it right at your apartment.
And it would just grab the signal from
It would push its own signal from the house.
Yeah, so you would hardwire it to the router is what you would do.
Hardwired.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'd recommend. What a lot of people don't know, a lot of people get caught up in using these Wi-Fi repeaters. And what a lot of people don't know about Wi-Fi repeaters is that every time a Wi-Fi signal gets repeated, the speed gets cut in half.
Oh, and, nice.
yeah. So all of a sudden your lovely, 20 meg DSL circuit has just turned into a 9 meg wow. DSL circuit, as it were. So, but yeah, if you, if you'd like to email, Matt or I, we'd be glad to send you, links to devices yep. that might help solve your problem.
And is this all
excellent?
Was this all one building or is it multiple buildings? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
It's two separate buildings.
Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah.
They make some, there's some companies that are making, depending on what you do, but you can put one on the first building, put one on the other building, and they kind of call it wireless wire. And so basically mm-hmm. you could,
or a wireless bridge, wireless they also bridge. Call it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you go, you set up the two devices and you put a little access point or whatever, or a wire into your location and have very strong connectivity locally. That may be another viable option depending on the walls and how things are laid out in particular.
Well, yeah.
I have a window that faces that building, so I could aim it in the window or something.
Yeah, actually, that's actually a great idea. As long as there's not too much distance, glass doesn't provide that big of a obstacle. Yeah.
Yep.
You could put the receiving device on inside your window, and then put a little, like Matt was saying, you could pick up a little $49 wireless access point to just light up your entire apartment. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that could work. It's about 40 feet.
Got it. Okay.
So that shouldn't matter. All yep. right. Yeah. Excellent. Thanks, guys.
All right.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yep.
If we have another short one, you got a few minutes. 963-2976.
Yeah.
So I was just looking. Let's see here. The snowpack for the Colorado River Basin is definitely a little behind the median for the last 5 years. But, just that can change in a week.
Yeah.
At this time, this part of the year.
Yeah. So have you seen your stimulus money yet, Matt? Has that shown up in your bank yet?
I checked this morning. It had not.
Yeah. Those guys are really slacking.
Yes, they are.
They pass a bill on Friday. We don't even have the money by Monday. Jeez. So, well, I hope it's not because any hackers were involved or anything. So, let's see. What are some other fun little stories here that we're looking at? There's actually a whole bunch of great. Oh, have you worked with any of the new Apple chips, Matt?
No, I haven't had a chance yet. I'm looking forward to it. I know that they were having some problems with the solid state drives in those.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So it sounds like they've had some write issues after you run through it a couple times.
Interesting. I'll have to Google that and check it out.
Yeah, double check that one. But so. I've heard some people are having problems with the. It sounds like the drive disappearing, which is now integrated into the main board. So if that goes away, the computer goes away, sort of.
Got it. So one thing that I have tangled with, I haven't actually gotten my hands on one of the new chips yet, but in helping a customer in a pre-sales environment, basically came down to the reality that if you are one of the people who are using either Bootcamp or Parallels or what's the other one? Fusion.
Mm-hmm.
And running
or VirtualBox.
Running a Windows product, Microsoft Windows product, or any product that's designed to run on Intel, that those products are not going to run on the new Apple chips. And
probably have to be a new version of Parallels or.
Yeah. But I've done a pretty deep dive on this, and at this point, I'm basically getting the digital equivalent of people scratching their heads. Nobody's, everybody's pretty much, put up a sign in the window that says, be back soon.
Mm-hmm.
Or gone fishing. Not really sure what's going on. So if you are, one of those people that's dependent on, running a Windows product, like for QuickBooks or whatever, think twice, before you might want to look at a refurb. Apple certified refurb that has a Intel chip in it instead of taking the plunge to have that new Apple chip, because it will not run your Windows product. So, all righty. Well, you know what that music means.
Yep. Spent another half an hour.
Means Matt just turned the music on.
Yes, it does. So you've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
All right, we'll be back the 1st of April.
Woohoo. Is it the 1st?
Let me go look. Let's see here. The 5th. We'll be back the 5th of April.
Darn, man. Darn. I wanted to do an April Fool's show.
I know. It's
darn
been a couple years since we got to have one of those.
Yeah, definitely.
That was fun.
Okay, we better jet. So, everybody, don't touch your knob. Have a great week.
Be back.
Bye.